In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. You're about 13 years old, and your mom asks you. No, your mom tells you. She has a job for you to do out in the yard. The hill in the backyard needs weeding. But she promises you only have to work until noon, and then we'll go to In-N-Out, grab a burger, and head to the beach. And by the way, I'll give you $25 if you do the yard really well. So you go out and you start weeding, all the while knowing exactly what you're going to do with your newfound wealth. About 11:45, your little brother comes out and asks, "What you doing?" and proceeds to pluck a few weeds as well. Not very many, not very well, and not very fast at all. But when noon rolls around, your mom comes out and says, "Good job, thanks." And she opens her wallet, and she proceeds to give your little brother $25. Excited you are that certainly you will receive more. To your horror, she hands you $25 as well, and says, "Let's go, let's jump in the car, and we'll head to lunch." With a stomp of the foot, you object. "That's not fair." And what if your mom says, "It's my money. I can do with it what I want. What's your problem?" That's today's parable, perhaps in its simplest form. A parable we all know far too well, for who here hasn't been the recipient of unfairness? To get what this parable is about, however, we need to back up a bit, because it's not just about unfairness. Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven is like. And that means we need to find out what that for is there for. And if we back up, back our way into the scriptures, we find this. Right before our gospel lesson, a rich young man had come to Jesus, a pious young man who thought he kept all the rules. "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "If you would enter life, keep the commandments." With a gleam in his eye, he replied, "Which ones?" Knowing, of course, that he had kept them all. And Jesus answered, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear witness, false witness, honor your father and your mother, love your neighbor as yourself." And with that gleam in his eye, he proclaimed, "All this I have done ever since I was a little kid." And amazingly, he gets no argument from Jesus. Not one argument at all. "Good job," Jesus tells him. "You have only one thing left as far as I can see. Go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And the rich young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Possessions he feared losing. Possessions he loved more. Possessions he trusted would provide for him more than he feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things. "I just can't do that," he thought. Not even the first commandment could he keep. After that little confrontation, Jesus says to his disciples, "It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And that rather astounded the disciples. "Who then can be saved?" they asked. And the answer they were expecting was, "Only good boys like you, who have left everything and come and followed me." That's what they expected to hear, but that's not what they heard. Instead, Jesus said to them, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Well, that ticked Peter off. Angry as a 13-year-old who was out pulling weeds. And just as miffed as you get when someone else gets the same reward as you get. And yet they did absolutely diddly squat and deserved nothing, anything less. You know how that gets your goat? Ticks you off, chaps your hide, burns you up, and drives you nuts. Peter figured it out. Oh, I get it. You or your father are going to work some miracle in the end to bring in even those who haven't sacrificed a thing for you. Well, that's not fair. We have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? It's not fair, the long-working laborers cried. And we agree, it's not fair for folks who work 1 hour to receive the same amount of pay as those who work for 8 hours. And when things aren't fair, when the hiring practices are skewed, when someone else gets in and you don't, though you deserved it, when you do your work and others get the credit, when things aren't fair, we fume. But there's something even worse than unfairness. Worse? Yep. Unfairness is bad. But worse than that is this. It is God who is the obscenely generous one, giving his gifts to all sorts of people who don't deserve it. For heaven's sake, Jesus, what then will we have if you give it all away for free? And now you get it, don't you? This parable is about the fact that the ways of the kingdom are not the ways of the world. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord, Isaiah told us. In the kingdom, it's never about what's fair. It's never about what you're owed. It's never about what you sacrificed, gave up, denied yourself, or anything else like that. It's all about the generosity of the master who delights to give what's not deserved to everyone. Those who think they're entitled, those who think they're owed something, they're going to have a rude awakening when payday rolls around. Maybe you've been a Christian all your life. Maybe you've taught others about Jesus. Maybe you've served on all sorts of boards and committees. Maybe you've tried to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Maybe you're a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a constant volunteer to any church committee you've ever been asked to serve on. Maybe you are a faithful witness to this dark and dying world by simply living out and doing the vocation God has given to you for the best of your ability. Maybe you've been simply a good, decent human being. That's all good stuff, and God bless you for it. But if you think that any of that earns you more than the poor sinner who at the very last hour of his life turns to Jesus and pleads for mercy, you'll find out you never understood the first thing about the kingdom of God. The very nature of the kingdom of God is not that things come out fair in the end. The very nature of the kingdom of God is that we all get what we don't deserve. In fact, we get what another deserved. You see, there was one who came to work in his master's vineyard. He toiled tirelessly in it, day and night, burden though it was. But for him, it was the only life worth living. He bore the burden of the day and all the scorching heat. He didn't complain that his royal heritage should have exempted him. And neither was he like the other workers, grumbling in distrust and fear. He never abused the promises of his father. Instead, he found life in them, trusting them, literally. Every moment of his life, he trusted that his father's will was good and just. He even trusted the goodness of his father when his father took the sum of all our grumbling and complaining, our distrust and rebellion, our sins and our transgressions, and dumped them squarely on his shoulders. Without complaint, he took all of them, carried the consequences of our sin in his own flesh all the way to an unjust, unfair, brutal death, all in order to set us free forever. His resurrection proved that his faith and trust in his Father was not in vain. And by his life, death, and resurrection, he opened up for us a whole new way of being as his people. A life where grumbling is a thing of the past, not because it's not polite and because it bores people to tears, but rather because we trust that in all things God is working for the good of those who love him. He opened up for us a whole new way of being, a life where thanksgiving and praise characterize our days because we see the gifts of God in Christ showered down upon us constantly, unique gifts that not even death can take away from us. A life where the word and sacraments are gratefully received and properly used. A life where we never look at God's dealing with others and cry, "Not fair," because our hearts have been so filled with love that when we see others blessed, we can only cry out in amazement at the generosity and goodness of the God who dishes out to one and all what is not deserved at all. And when that new life is the last life we'd like to have any part of, when unfairness in life gives birth to grumbling and complaining, for righteous we are, but sinners yet still, he points us to his cross and reminds us of the miracle he worked, not just for the other guy who came in late, but for each and every one of us too, for you, that he may have compassion on us and abundantly pardon us for Christ's sake. For those who, for all of their life, have known the joys of working in the vineyard, those who found out only in the middle of life what real life is all about, and even for those who come in at the very end praying, "Jesus, remember me in your kingdom," for all of us, Christ Jesus unfairly died in order to just as unfairly fling wide open heaven's gates and give to each of us undeserving folk the very same gift. What then will we have? What then will anyone have? Nothing less than the gift of his body and blood, the forgiveness of our sins, and oneness with him forever, and there's nothing more than that. So you see, it's not a matter of unfairness at all. It's not a matter of our ratty little brother or sister getting the same as we got for much less. It's a matter of God's rich love giving all of us both far more than we could ever dream of or deserve. And to him be the glory forever. Amen.